Hi Paul, I promised a little boo following your boo about the little Apple conference that you went to do with digital storytellers in Ireland. And I can't really comment on why Apple didn't make it more public, of course, and I can't really comment on why they didn't invite more people. But what I can comment on is, I mean, I've used Apple computers for as long as I've had computers, really. The first computer I ever bought with my own money was an Apple computer, secondhand, but it was an Apple computer, and that was kind of back in the days where it really was all about thinking different, and you really felt you were using a platform that was going in a really great direction, and a platform that was all about innovation, and a platform that was all about being creative and getting things done. And over the years, to me, that whole kind of that whole perception really has changed an awful lot. You buy an Apple computer these days, and basically what you're buying is a content delivery system. You buy an Apple computer and you have iTunes, for example. You have the iTunes store. You also, you can rent movies, music, all that kind of stuff. And all of that goes through Apple's own channels. You want to buy apps for your iPad, that all goes through Apple's channels. So Apple take a sizable chunk of any money that developers, the developers work basically in those areas. And you can see the same happening now with downloading desktop apps on your Mac. That it's always been fairly open, being able to download and install apps on your Mac, and of course it still is to a certain degree. But you can definitely see that the strategy now with Apple is with the introduction of the software store, or whatever you want to call it, the app store for your desktop Mac, is a move to actually pipeline all of the applications that get made for a Mac through Apple's doors. Now, Apple might argue that this is a form of quality control, that they want to make sure that all the apps that are developed for their devices are up to a certain standard. But of course, what it's really about is Apple's choice to take a cut of everybody else's work. While everybody else, of course, is developing stuff for their platform, if Apple make the decision to defend their own revenue streams, and pipe everything through their doors and take a 30% cut along the way, then of course that really does protect their revenue streams rather a lot and add to it. So what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that these days choosing to buy an Apple device is really a lock-in. What you're doing is, for example, you have an iPhone. I don't know if you have an iPad, but if you want that device to work, you need to plug it into your Mac, or if you have a Windows machine, you plug it into your Windows machine, and the only software that it can really talk to is Apple software. So what Apple are doing is they're creating their own universe where everything they create only works within their universe. And that really is what I call a lock-in. Once you go down the road of investing in Apple devices, you need to continue down that road in order to get the full benefit of those devices along the way. And I think that has an enormous impact on everybody, but I think especially when it comes to educational institutions, because many schools, whether they be public schools, private schools, whatever, they're all struggling with budgets. They're all struggling to make things run around. And to me, going down the road of investing in Apple devices to make sure the students have access to them, is going down the road of not just locking the institutions into using Apple devices from that moment on, because once they go down that road and they've invested that money, of course, to get the full benefit of continuing to use Apple products, they basically need to invest more and more money over the years to keep those devices updated, to buy more and more software to load onto those devices, which will go through Apple's gates. To me, it's a whole lock-in system where Apple really is just thinking of ways to where they can drum up. Apple really is just kind of finding ways to drum up other ways to get people just to buy their stuff from them. You can see this if there's an Apple store in the town where I live. There's a couple, actually. There's three, actually. I've spoken to the guys who run those Apple stores, and they're not official Apple stores. They're stores that just sell Apple products. But having spoken to the guys who work there, the amount of money that they get when they sell an Apple computer is actually very, very small. So they don't get paid very much for their work supporting a company that really does not go out of their way to be generous or support or be part of a community. Apple does what it does. And right now, I certainly feel Apple is doing a lot to bolster its revenue streams, make them stronger, rather than finding ways to be generous. I'm not saying really, they're a business. Of course, they need to make money. But still, there is room in business to be generous support the little guy as and when it seems appropriate. But as far as educational institutions are concerned, I certainly feel going down the road of investing in Apple equipment and Apple software and all that kind of stuff is going down the road of lock-in, that once you start doing it, you're committed and you have to keep doing it, which means you'll have to keep throwing money into the Apple revenue stream to keep your devices updated, to buy new software for your devices, and to actually buy new devices. For example, if a school were to invest in a bunch of iMacs and then they wanted to invest in some tablet computers, the likelihood is they're going to invest in iPads because they know they work with the iMac. So there is this whole system of lock-in that if you want the most optimal thing, if you want the thing that actually really works the most, then you need to keep buying Apple devices. So that's what I mean by a lock-in. And I've certainly gone down this path recently. I mean, I've used Apple computers for as long as I can remember. The first one I ever bought, like I say, with my own money, was an Apple computer. I'm sitting in front of an Apple computer now, recording this audio boo. But the software on it that I'm running isn't Apple software. I'm actually running a version of Linux on my iMac called Ubuntu. And I can run Ubuntu on any computer that I have. I have a few computers for various reasons, both Apple computers, and I have a Hewlett-Packard laptop. And I have a Hewlett-Packard desktop as well. And on all of those, I'm running Ubuntu. And the great thing about Ubuntu is it's free. I can go to the Ubuntu.com website. I can download the operating system. I can burn it onto a CD or a DVD. And I can load it onto any machine that I have, and it will work. And this, for me, is a step away from Apple into the world of open source software. And I think many educational institutions and digital storytellers should really be considering their next steps as far as producing media and using software and which way they go. Because the more and more we use Apple's products to produce what we do, the more and more we're going into lock-in. Whereas if we start now looking at alternatives, for example, Ubuntu is a complete operating system. just like Windows, just like Mac OS X, and it works fantastically. And it's completely free. It hasn't cost me a penny to download and start using this, other than the few pence it cost me to burn it onto a DVD for the actual DVD itself. And the other great thing about Linux, Ubuntu, open source software in general, is it is all free. I mean, I'm using Ubuntu now. I can edit video. I can write documents. I can make and edit sound. I can do everything that I could do on my Mac. I can browse the internet. I can do everything. But the biggest difference between me using the system I have now and me using the Apple system that I had before is, if I realize I need, for example, the other day I needed a program to divide an MP3 file into sections. It was a 2-hour MP3 file, and I thought I wanted to upload it. It's transmedia for the rest of us, by the way. But I wanted to upload it onto Audioboo, but it was 2 hours long. And I thought, well, I don't want to, all I want to do is chop that MP3 up into 4 different sections. And I'm not saying open source software isn't available for Mac. It is, of course. But being able to track down that piece of software that I found that could do that for me, that was an open source piece of software, it didn't cost me a penny to download and use, was actually very, very easy to do. And another example is, for example, editing audio on Ubuntu or Linux in general. There's a program called Audacity, which again I know is available for Mac OS X, but Apple is making a concerted effort to squeeze out open source software on the Mac OS X platform to protect their revenue streams. So I can quite easily see, even in a year's time, that downloading Audacity on your Mac will be all but impossible. If you throw into that the idea of the Apple App Store, then you can definitely see they're making moves to squeeze out open source software and funnel everything through their app store. And I definitely predict that in a very short period of time, the only place you'll be able to download and install software on your Mac is through the app store. They will actually shut off being able to install software for most users, I believe, outside of the app store very, very soon. So I think that comes back to this idea of lock-in as well. Whereas, as far as Ubuntu goes, as far as Linux goes, everything that I need to do on my computer, I can find a piece of software to do it. And that software doesn't cost me anything. And I think that has enormous, that could have an enormous impact on education. Imagine some kind of school or institution, needing to invest in computers and operating systems and all that kind of stuff. While, of course, going out and buying hardware will always cost money. In this particular situation, the hardware that they would need to buy wouldn't need to be particularly expensive, because they wouldn't need to go for example, an Apple computer that, of course, we all know they cost a lot more than other computers on the market. They could go out and buy a cheaper computer that probably runs just as fast and just as well, and load Ubuntu onto it, or load Linux, another version of Linux, onto it. And then all the software that they need to actually run that computer and make documents, edit sound, make videos, do everything that you need to do on a computer actually wouldn't cost them anything. I think this would have an enormous impact on schools and educational systems were they to start adopting it, because they wouldn't need to license software. They wouldn't need to pay Apple or Microsoft, whoever they use, you know, for these enormous licenses to actually have an operating system on many different computers, they can download Ubuntu and put it on any computer they like, and it's free, absolutely free. I'm probably harping on a little bit now. But my point is really that as far as educational institutions are concerned, making the decision to go down the Apple road really is a lock-in. I certainly would like to see more people trying out things like Ubuntu, trying out open source software, and seriously giving it a good consideration and seeing where it takes them. Because open source software isn't just about the fact that it is free, that it doesn't cost you any money. Open source software is about being able to contribute. For example, the Ubuntu project, you know, if I so decide, I can actually start contributing to the Ubuntu operating system. If I know enough about programming, I can volunteer and start contributing to the operating system that's running on my own computer. If I don't know programming, I can contribute in other ways. I can start designing stuff. I can start writing copy for the Ubuntu website if I want to. I can volunteer to actually start helping other people who are having problems with Ubuntu and need support. There's a whole community of people online around these kind of open source softwares where they all help each other. And it really is a great spirit of community. I mean, I've certainly found, you know, whether it's Mac OS X, Windows or Linux, you know, there's always problems using an operating system. But the one thing I have found is whatever problems I have had, particularly on Linux, on Ubuntu, that I can go online and I find the answer very, very quickly, because the support system and the community is there to actually support each other and help each other out. So overall, what am I really trying to say? I'm just trying to say that there is an alternative. There is another way to go. And I think now is the time to start looking to adopt it before there's too much of a lock-in through Apple. At the moment, it's not a full lock-in, but it's certainly getting there. And I don't think it's going to be too long before before it's a complete lock-in. So I certainly feel now is the time to start looking at other systems like Ubuntu, where there's no lock-in at all, really. I mean, if I want to start using Linux, Ubuntu, I can start using it. If I decide that I don't want to use it anymore and use another operating system, there really is no lock-in at all. It's not cost me a penny to actually use the operating system. It's not cost me a penny to actually use all the software that's available for it. So it wouldn't be a huge investment for me, you know, to actually backtrack on that and decide to use another system if I wanted to. Of course, it would be a huge investment if I changed my mind and went back to Mac or Microsoft or anything like that, because then I'd have to start buying software again. But as it is now, I can use Ubuntu, and there's lots of different versions of Linux available out there on the internet, if Ubuntu isn't one that suits. Where all the same kinds of software are available, open sourced and free. So really, I feel that now is the time to start looking to open source software. Now is the time to try out, is to download and try out Ubuntu on your computer. Because I think in a very short space of time, also I think with the coming of Windows 8 as well on Microsoft, that those companies are definitely looking to lock people more and more in. So now is the time, I think, to look at alternatives before the lock-in is complete. Because once you go down that road, I think particularly for companies or institutions and stuff like that, once the lock-in happens, then, you know, it's an enormous loss of money and resources to actually backtrack and come out of that, which of course doesn't make sense. So what would make sense is to continue down the road of the lock-in, which of course is also going to cost you a lot of money and resources and whatnot. Whereas something like Linux and Ubuntu, there is no lock-in. You can choose to use it, you can choose not to use it. Your information is your own. Software is open source. You can choose to contribute to that or not. You can learn a lot more about how the computer actually works, to be honest, through using something like Linux than you can other operating systems. So to me, open source software, Ubuntu, Linux, all that kind of stuff really just offers an opportunity to bypass the lock-in and use a system that's all about freedom and choice, where you can choose to use it not choose to use it, or choose to contribute or not choose to contribute. You can do what you like, really. And certainly I found so far that all the software that I've needed to do what I normally do, which is blogging, tweeting, making audio, video, all that kind of stuff, documents, it's all there and it's all free and it's all available for me. So really, really, I think it's the time now for people to start looking at these alternatives before the final lock-in, so to speak, actually happens.